Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Curse of Bigness: Antitrust in the New Gilded Age is a concise nonfiction work of legal and economic history by Tim Wu, a Columbia law professor known for writing about power, media, and technology. The book examines the rise, decline, and possible renewal of American antitrust enforcement, using the history of the Sherman Antitrust Act, the progressive era, and modern corporate consolidation, to argue that concentrated private power can threaten competition and democracy alike. Wu writes for a broad general audience rather than legal specialists, and one of the book's main strengths is its accessibility. It explains complex ideas about monopoly, mergers, and market structure in clear, compact prose. The book is not simply a history of antitrust law. It is also a warning about the political consequences of tolerating extreme bigness in industries such as finance, pharmaceuticals, and technology. Its purpose is to show why antitrust should again be treated as a serious democratic tool, not a narrow technical doctrine. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book revives the original democratic purpose of antitrust law. Wu begins from the idea that antitrust was never meant to be a technical side issue reserved for lawyers and economists. In his account, the Sherman Antitrust Act emerged from late 19th century anxieties about trusts, monopoly, and the social damage caused by extreme concentration of wealth and industrial control. That historical frame matters because it challenges the modern assumption that antitrust is only about short-term consumer prices. Wu instead restores the older view associated with figures such as Louis Brandeis and Theodore Roosevelt, for whom antitrust was a way to preserve a healthy distribution of power in a democracy. The argument is not that all large firms are automatically harmful, but that size can itself become a political problem when market dominance hardens into private rule. By returning to this founding purpose, the book asks readers to see antitrust as part of constitutional culture, not just market management. This is the book's central intellectual move. It reframes competition policy as a safeguard against concentrated power rather than a narrow efficiency formula. Secondly, the progressive era as a model that later generations neglected. A major thread in the book is Wu's historical comparison between the progressive era and the late 20th and early 21st centuries. He treats the early antitrust tradition as a period when government was willing to confront powerful trusts and accept that markets sometimes need structural intervention. That approach later weakened, especially as antitrust thinking narrowed around price effects and economic efficiency. Wu's point is not merely that old policies were replaced by new ones, it is that a broader civic understanding of monopoly was gradually forgotten. The result, in his view, is a long drift toward permissiveness about mergers and concentration, leaving regulators less prepared to challenge the largest firms. This historical argument gives the book much of its force because it shows that today's debates are not unprecedented. Wu wants readers to see the present as a return of old problems under new conditions. The lesson of the progressive era is therefore practical as well as historical. If antitrust once helped restrain concentrated power, it can do so again, provided policymakers recover the older sense of what the law is for. Thirdly, why modern antitrust doctrine became too narrow to confront monopoly power. Wu is critical of the recent tendency to treat antitrust mainly as an exercise in economic modeling and consumer welfare analysis. In his view, this shift allowed courts and regulators to miss forms of harm that are real even when prices remain low. These include reduced competition, diminished innovation, growing barriers to entry, and the political influence that often comes with size. The book argues that focusing too tightly on measurable short-term price effects made antitrust less capable of responding to consolidation in sectors where harm is diffuse or delayed. That criticism is important because it explains how large mergers and dominant platforms could expand while still appearing legally manageable. Wu does not reject economics, but he insists that law must account for power more broadly. His position is that antitrust should address structure, not just outcomes at the checkout counter. This makes the book especially relevant to readers trying to understand why existing legal doctrines often seem unable to deal with digital platforms, finance giants, or other highly concentrated industries. The deeper claim is that doctrine itself can become a source of weakness when it defines the problem too narrowly. Fourthly, big tech, big finance, and the political risks of concentrated markets. Although the book is historical, it clearly speaks to the era of giant technology firms and other dominant corporations. Wu uses contemporary examples of concentration in sectors such as big tech, big banks, and big pharma to show that the curse of bigness is not abstract. His concern is not only that these firms are economically powerful, but that their size gives them the ability to shape public life, influence regulation, and narrow democratic choice. The book suggests that when markets become highly concentrated, private corporations can begin to resemble quasi-political institutions, setting the terms on which others must act. That is why Wu connects market structure to democracy, rather than treating them as separate domains. The argument is especially pointed in the context of digital platforms, where network effects and data accumulation can entrench dominance with unusual speed. Wu does not claim that every large company is illegitimate, but he does insist that lawmakers should be much more suspicious of durable dominance. This section of the book gives the historical thesis urgency by showing how old antitrust questions reappear in new industries. Lastly, a reform agenda centered on structure, transparency, and public accountability, Wu does more than diagnose a problem. He sketches a reform-minded antitrust agenda. His approach calls for a revived willingness to challenge mergers, review market concentration seriously, and treat antitrust as a structural policy instrument. He also gestures toward more democratic procedures, including greater public visibility into merger review and enforcement remedies. The significance of this reform agenda is that it resists the idea that market concentration should be accepted unless clear immediate harm can be proven under a narrow standard. Instead, Wu argues that institutions should intervene earlier and more confidently when dominance threatens competition and civic equality. The book is careful not to present antitrust as a magic solution to every problem of inequality or corporate power, but it does treat antitrust as a necessary first line of defense. This measured stance strengthens the argument because it avoids overclaiming while still pressing for real institutional change. Readers come away with a clear sense that enforcement matters, that legal standards matter, and that the design of market rules shapes the distribution of power in society. In conclusion, The Curse of Bigness is best suited for readers who want a compact but serious introduction to antitrust, monopoly power, and the democratic consequences of corporate concentration. It will appeal to policy readers, students of law and political economy, journalists, and general readers trying to understand why debates over big tech, mergers, and market dominance have become so central. The practical value of the book is that it clarifies a subject often obscured by legal jargon. Antitrust is not only about efficiency, but about whether private power has become too large to remain politically harmless. Its intellectual value lies in the way it reconnects contemporary policy debates to a deeper American tradition of anti-monopoly thought. Compared with many books in this area, Wu's work stands out for its brevity, historical range, and clarity of purpose. It does not drown the reader in doctrine, nor does it rely on slogans. Instead, it offers a disciplined argument that a healthy democracy needs rules that keep markets open and power contestable. That combination of accessibility, historical memory, and policy seriousness is what makes the book distinctive. If you would like to support Tim Wu, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.